God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our epistle reading from Romans chapter 15, beginning with the fourth verse. And the title of this message is Fixing the Broken. Hence, we may remember the cliche, if it's not broken, you don't fix it. Before I get into our text, though, I'm going to need to set the stage. When were we broken, so to speak? We may remember Adam and Eve and their sin in the garden, but today's brokenness is going to be taking a look more at our disunity instead of our unity. When was humanity, you could say, unified, and when was it disunified, so to speak? Well, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 11. This occurs right after the flood. The people of Israel, the God's people, were sort of multiplying. They were doing well for themselves. And then they said to each other, verse 3, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth." This was the time in which they built what was called the Tower of Babel. Notice their intention here was to make a name for themselves. Their intention here was to be unified. Their intention here was to do this great and monumentous act. But at the same time, we may ask, was this really a bad thing? Isn't it a good thing for humanity to come together? Isn't it a good thing for humanity to be unified? And the answer is yes. Except for there was one problem. They were doing this to make a name for themselves. Not to glorify God, but to glorify man. Their intentions were the wrong direction. Needless to say, what did God do? God scattered them by confusing their language. All of a sudden, you had people who were unable to communicate with each other. You had factions beginning to take place. No longer was there unity, but there was disunity. Why? God had to teach him a lesson. Who was the Almighty? Who was the All-Powerful? Whose name was to be glorified? God and God alone. Since that time, from Genesis chapter 11, we lived in a human race that is now divided. And one of the things that quickly divides us, of course, is language. How many of you have ever been in the company of someone who's speaking a foreign language? And they're conversing, and you don't understand a single word that they're saying. What is your reaction? Do you sometimes get a little fearful? A little distrusting? You're thinking, what are they saying about me? The truth is, they might not even be talking about you at all. But our human nature begins to kick in and this distrust appears. Why? Because we can't understand them. There are other things that divide us besides language. Money divides us. Race divides us. Gender divides us. Even religion divides us. And even in the midst of Christianity, and even in the midst of Lutheranism within Christianity, there are still divisions. Even within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there are still divisions. And if it even gets worse, it does. Even within families, there are divisions. Is God happy with all these divisions? Again, the answer is no. He wants us to be unified, but unified toward Him, not divided amongst ourselves. In one essence, as the title of this message says, Fixing the Broken, we are the broken. We are the ones that are disunified. We are the ones that have those prejudices. We are the ones that would rather do things by ourselves and think of ourselves as doing the right thing and everyone else doing the wrong thing. That line of thinking furthers our disunity. Does God leave us here at that point? The answer is no. He wants and He does fix us. Now, as we get into our text, we see how He fixes us. In Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 4, our text begins reminding us that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. As we still live on this side of heaven, in the midst of our own sinfulness and the sinfulness of the world around us, we see the disunity. Where is our hope? There is no hope. Our hope, as Paul reminds us, is in God's Word. It is only in God's Word do we find true love and true peace. That love and peace that puts us back together again. That love and peace that brings hope. That love and peace that fills our hearts. Nothing else can do that. Unfortunately, we live in a world like Genesis chapter 11, where people were searching to have some meaning and satisfaction in life, and they were searching to their own accomplishments instead of what God does. Many of you may have noticed at one time or another the sign that's outside our church. You know, it says the worship times on it. It has your pastor's name in case if you forgot. But at the top of that, it has divine service. And sometimes people have been asking, well, what does the divine service mean? Divine service, plain and clearly, is God serving us. How does God serve us? Well, we have to go back to this title. First of all, we have to realize that we are the ones who are broken. We see the disunity in our own lives. We see the prejudices, the anger, the frustrations, how we want things my way instead of everyone else's way. So how does God serve us? Verse 4 reminds us, through the Scriptures, we have hope. It is through the Scriptures that God fills us. It is through the Scriptures that God fixes us and restores us. That's why God had to take on flesh and blood. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Why that first Christmas had to occur. God had to repair us, to fix us, to restore us. Paul here is reminding us of that fact. God gives the gift of unity through His divine service. And so we gather here on Sunday morning to do what? To be reminded of the hope we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to hear that encouraging Word of God, to receive the sacraments for the strengthening of our faith, the forgiveness of our sins, to be reminded of the Incarnation, that first Christmas, on why God had to take on flesh and blood to restore us. God doesn't want to leave us at a point of disunity, but wants to unify us. Now, if I can just pop down to the last verse for right now. Paul writes in verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let me just unpack that verse. Again, Paul basically is putting the sign that says divine service here. Notice who's doing the action. It's God who's doing the filling. And what is God filling us with? With hope, with joy, with peace. In one essence, if we would just sort of picture our lives broken and shattered in pieces, like say a mug that sort of dropped, what does God do? He picks up the pieces. He mends the mug. And it's more than just mending and repairing, and then fills the mug. And not fills the mug just with a little bit, not just to the top, but overflows the mug with His love, joy, and peace. Why would God want to do something like that? First of all, He cares for, you could say, for a better illustration, us mugs, so to speak. He doesn't want to see us broken in pieces. And He fills us with His joy, His peace, His hope, so that we overflow, so that same love and hope flows to other people. You see, God uses means to share His love. He uses the means of His Word and sacrament, as verse 4 alludes to, through the power of Holy Scripture. And verse 15, He alludes to the fact that He uses us, us who are broken, us who are shattered because of our sin, us who are disunified, God uses us through the power of His Word to unite us for His purpose, so that we will overflow with His love, His hope, His joy, and His peace. However, some of you may be saying, Pastor, you know, as we approach this Christmas season, I don't seem to be overflowing with love, joy, hope, and peace. Why not? Well, unfortunately, the truth is, we get distracted from God's grace. We get distracted from His Word. Notice what was the whole purpose here in verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. What was the problem with the Tower of Babel? Not that mankind was unified. Not that mankind could work together for a common purpose and cause. If mankind wanted to work together to solve hunger right now, we could do it. We are so richly blessed here in the United States. If we just pulled all our resources together, we could feed the whole world over and over again. There would be no more hunger, no more starving. People would be satisfied. But notice, our trust is not necessarily in Him, but in ourselves. That's where Genesis 11 was coming from. And when mankind puts its trust in themselves and builds statues and monuments to glorify themselves, it only brings disaster. But as we put our hope and trust that God gives us in Him, we overflow with God's love. That's how simple it is. The problem again is, are we fixed or are we broken? Too often our brokenness, our own sinfulness, leads us astray and says, I'd rather glorify myself instead of God. When we take a look at the cross, we see our Lord and Savior. And yet He died on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of your sins, of my sins, and the sins of the whole world. Not just the members here at Trinity. Not just people who look like us and act like us and agree with us. But for the sins of the whole world. That means Christ died even for His own enemies. Even for those people who were shouting, crucify Him, crucify Him. Even for Herod, who wanted to destroy Him after hearing that the wise men said there was the birth of the King of the Jews. Yes, Christ died for everyone's sins, including your enemies. Now does your hope and joy overflow even to your enemies? In one essence, we're that mug wanting to be filled by God, and God wanting to pour that love into us, and us overflowing, and all of a sudden the mug sits there and says, oh, by the way, I don't want to overflow this direction, I only want to overflow that direction. Have you ever tried that? Taking a mug? For me, it would be pouring coffee into it, and pouring the coffee in the center, and then telling the coffee only to overflow a certain direction? Well, that will work if the mug is on a slant. And as Christians, that was what we try to do. In one essence, we try to slant God's love to only go a certain way because we're comfortable with that way. But naturally, God's love says, no, it goes to all people. Our prejudices, our disunities comes up and says, wait a minute, God. You want your love to go to everybody? And the answer is yes. And He wants you to be overflowing with love so He can use you to do it. Our sinful human nature pops up again and says, no, I don't want to do that. And that's where we have to come to our Lord and Savior and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for taking Your love and slanting it. Forgive me for not wanting to share Your love with even those enemies. Forgive me for not wanting to share Your grace and love with those people who speak a different language, those people who have more or less money than I do, those people of a different race, a different gender, even a different religion, and even within my own family. Yes, we are very well divided. We are broken. But we come to our Lord and Savior and say, Lord, forgive me. As we sing in the offertory, create in me a new heart, O God, a clean heart that is no longer given to disunity, but to be unified among your word and with your sacraments. And so we come to our Lord today to be strengthened, to be made whole again, to be restored with the love and the peace that only comes from Him and Him alone. So on this day, as the church is in the Advent season, preparing for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we hang on to especially this last verse, verse 13, that God gives us that hope, that joy, and that peace, that He mends our broken lives, our broken hearts, and fills us so that we overflow to all people, not to a select few. We ask the Lord to undo the scattering that was done at Babel, but to unify us with His Word and Spirit, so that we will be with Him in heaven above. Until that time, we ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us. The sinful nature within us wants to shatter our lives, but God's hope puts us back together. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.